You're listening to the Bridgeway Church podcast audio found at bridgewaychurch.com/podcast or on iTunes, keywords Bridgeway Church.
Everybody make your way back to your seats. Bring your conversations to an end if you would. All right, before we actually turn to the message this morning, I have a little treat for you. So, Cindy, if you and Charlie would, did you all see this week? It was in newspapers and on websites and blogs. It's called the Butterfly Nebula. And the Hubble Telescope just recently took this picture and sent it back. And I was just blown away. I love astronomy. It just intrigues me because it talks about how big and great our God is. The things that you see kind of blowing out to the sides, these are cauldrons of gas that are approximately 36,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's warm. That beats any August you have ever suffered in Oklahoma. Those cauldrons of gas are traveling at over 600,000 miles per hour. That's fast. At the center here, you can see at the very center, there's actually a dying star that was about five times the mass of our sun. And the temperature at the center was more than 400,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So a massive, massive display of the power of God. This is actually in our own galaxy. This is in the Milky Way, which means it's actually very, 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 very close to us, given the dimensions of the universe. In saying it's very, 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 very close to us, I still need to point out that this thing is about 20 quadrillion miles from Earth. So you're not going to get a suntan or scorched hair from the heat. 20 quadrillion miles away. That's 20 with 15 zeros behind it. So it sounds like that's a long way. That's really, 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 really close to us. But the amazing thing about this is I was looking at this and hoping that one of the astronomers who put this out would tell us the length from one end to the other. In other words, if you go from the far left, lower left-hand corner, the tip of that all the way up to the upper right-hand corner, and you wonder, how far is that? I mean, it doesn't look that big. I can almost put my arms and hold it together, and we got it on the screen, so it obviously can't be that long, can it? Well, as a matter of fact, it is. Let me try to give you an idea of how far it is. I suppose most of you have recently or at some point in your life been on an airplane. And most airplanes, although most of the jets now go faster, but most airplanes travel average 500 miles an hour. If you got in an American Airlines jet at this end of the Butterfly Nebula, and you traveled at 500 miles an hour nonstop, and I mean literally nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year without a potty break or a trip to McDonald's along the way, you never stopped flying at 500 miles an hour. It would take you a mere 3 million years to get from that end to that end. And that's really, really tiny in this indescribably massive universe. So what's the point? The point is this, Psalm 19:1, the heavens above declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. The heavens above declare the glory of your God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. From a practical point of view, just listen to Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me, says the Lord, that I should be like him? Lift up your eyes on high and see. He's pointing the people of Israel to the stars, the heavens. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. So why do you say, O Jacob, why do you speak, O Israel, oh, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Is that what you think? Think God is too weak that he can't intervene in your life in ways that are needed? Think that your life is hidden and obscured from him? Look at what he's done. You think a God who could pull that off is incapable of meeting you at your point of need? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The heavens declare, just a tiny little nebula in our galaxy declares the glory of God. And the skies above proclaim his handiwork. I was blessed by that. I thought that you might be as well. All right, you can turn the lights back on. Praise God for what he has done. Amen. All right, this morning, if you did not receive a bulletin in which is found this insert, I want you to raise your hand. There are people standing all around. Keep your hands raised. I see several. And they're going to bring you a copy of this little insert. I've always wanted to be able to say at Bridgeway, I see that hand, brother. I see that hand, sister. But it didn't feel really quite like our culture, so to speak. But I see some hands right back there that's still right here. There you go. Everybody have a copy of this insert. I want everybody to have them. We have plenty to go around. All right? Any others? Okay. I want to quickly read, as that is happening, from Ephesians chapter 3. You don't even need to turn there. It's a passage we actually read a couple of weeks ago. Just want to read it again, if I may. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Well, after seeing the butterfly nebula, I don't doubt that for a moment. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, although, yes, the heavens declare the glory of God, the New Testament doesn't say, and in the butterfly nebula may his glory be seen and in Christ Jesus. But it's in the church that his glory is to be manifest and seen. So I pray this morning that the point of that passage will become evident as we look at this material. Let me pray for us for just a moment. Father, we thank you again for your mighty power, a power infinite, incomprehensible to us, Lord, small and finite and broken and selfish as we are. What a great God you are. I thank you that you took that power and you focused it in the creation of this planet and in our creation and then in the incarnation of your Son and becoming one of us and dying for us and enduring the wrath of such a great and holy and righteous God so that we might have life and forgiveness. Thank you, thank you, and we praise you for that. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time together now. So we turn our thoughts to the church and how your glory is manifest in it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Local churches are, more often than not, spiritually lopsided. Now, what I mean by saying that they are spiritually lopsided is that most churches lay hold of a truth or maybe a couple of truths, and then they fashion and shape their identity and their ministries on and around that single truth, or maybe those two truths. They are, as a result, good in what they do, on what they have focused, but very weak in what they have neglected and overlooked. I have no illusions about Bridgeway ever being a perfect church. And if anybody ever suggests to you that we are, you know, rebuke them for lying, because we're not. But I do believe that if we are to be the sort of church that honors God and exerts a redemptive influence in Oklahoma City and beyond, we must embrace a fully biblical, a holistically biblical approach to who we are and what we do. That's the point of this morning in the document that you have in your hands. As I mentioned a moment ago, and I honestly, before God, I can say I didn't intend it to coincide this way, but today is the one-year anniversary of my coming, and my first official sermon as your new senior pastor was 1 year ago today. So I suppose that it worked out well that I could address you on this topic this morning. Whenever there is new leadership, there are invariably going to be changes. I hope and pray they have not been too abrupt or too disconcerting to you. But one of the developments that has come about in the past year as I've been here is working with the staff and the elders to refine and renew and kind of realign our mission, our vision, and our ministry values. This process began back in January. We spent an entire day together as a ministry staff and worked through the vision statement of Bridgeway Church. By the way, with which there is absolutely nothing wrong. This is not a corrective. Please don't misunderstand. This is not a corrective. This is simply an enhancing. Nothing has been deleted from the essence of the previous statement, but there is some that has been added to it. But we processed that through the course of the day. We spent time in staff meetings over the next couple of months. The elders have had a go at this as well. And a couple of weeks ago at our house church leaders retreat, I presented this for the first time. So some of you who were there have already seen this material and have been able to think a little bit about it. As I said, nothing has been changed, nothing theologically or conceptually, but there has been some things that have been added, and we've kind of, if I can use this word appropriately and spiritually, we've tweaked the language a little bit. And we've labored long and hard over the proper terminology that could express what it is that we as Bridgeway want to be and to do for the glory of God. If you're wondering, you know, is this really important? Even that you would take time, Sam, to address this on a Sunday morning. And the answer is, yeah, it's eternally important. Read Ephesians 3:21 again. Because it is the church, the local expression of the body of Christ, through which and in which God chooses to manifest His glory, as well, obviously, preeminently, in and through His Son, Christ Jesus. The public display of God's glory is at stake. Now, God's glory isn't at stake. It's always eternal and infinite. We can't change that, cannot add to it, we can't subtract from it. But the public display of God's glory, how His glory is seen in and through us, is very much at stake, and therefore it is essential that we try by His grace to embrace and embody the values that we find in Scripture. So just so you know, this morning is not technically a sermon. I'm not here to preach a passage of Scripture as I normally would. So if you're here for the first time, this is a great Sunday for you to be here. Because if you came in asking questions about, all right, folks, who is Bridgeway and what do you do? You get the answer this morning. So what I would like to do with you, and again, our time is very limited. I only got about 15 minutes left, or 20 at most. I want to have you out of here by 12:15. I want to just share quickly the basic principles that are involved in this renewed vision for a new day. So if you have it, I want you to take it. I'm going to read certain portions of it. I'm going to skip over others just for the sake of time. But let me, if I may, just share the highlights of this so that we as a body can together embrace and go forward in being the kind of church that God wants us to be. Our mission or our vision, and those words are oftentimes used interchangeably and people really have a hard time differentiating between them, however you want to call it, is simply this: to spread a passion for the glory of God by extending His kingdom house to house, life on life, in the power of the Holy Spirit for the joy of all people. Those five statements, we're going to be putting those before you all the time until hopefully you have them memorized. We want to spread, not simply believe, not simply define, not simply protect. We want to spread a passion for the glory of God. And I mean by that a zeal, a commitment, an energy, an excitement about the glory of God. So Bridgeway is about God and His glory. It's not about us. We do this by extending His kingdom. That is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in all that we do, seeing the lordship of Jesus extended in Oklahoma City and beyond. His will expressed, obeyed, and submitted to. That's the coming of the kingdom of God, when the will and the lordship of Jesus, His thinking, His values, what He loves, what He hates, is expressed in everything that we do in life. How do we do this? Well, if you've been at Bridgeway long, you know it's house to house, life on life. You can't do this simply by what happens here on Sunday morning. As wonderful as these gatherings are, we cannot spread a passion for the glory of God and extend His kingdom just by gathering for an hour and 15 or 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. So we express this, we live it out in our house churches, in relationship, in community with one with another. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are charismatic in the best sense of that term. And I have to add that little nuance, because there's a lot of bad senses of that term. You know what they are. Just turn on TV and you can see a lot of it. But we unapologetically embrace the fullness of the supernatural ministry of the Spirit, because apart from that, we have no hope for making any progress in this vision. And we do it for the joy of all people. Now, why is that added? Quite simply because God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in you when your gladness and joy and delight in Him is deep and profound and life-changing. That's why we exist. Now, how does that express itself? What are the things that we value as a people, as a church body? These are expressed in four interrelated terms. Now, in the past, you have heard us talk many, many times about up, in, and out. We are still doing up, in, and out. But we're changing the wording and we're adding a fourth. We're going to call it upward, inward, outward, and forward. And let me explain, if I can, what each of those means. Upward. By this, we point to the vertical dimension of our relationship with God. We look upward to God and our fundamental responsibility to know Him, to love Him, and to be known and loved. This is describing the intimacy that happens during a time of worship or prayer. There are five expressions of the upward orientation. In fact, you'll see there are five ministry values under each of these four: upward, inward, outward, and forward. So let me just note these. There's intimacy with the Father, which is obviously foundational to everything that we do. We want to experience this life-changing, liberating joy of intimate fellowship with God. Our worship is Christ-centered. The supremacy of Jesus is what drives us. We long to see and savor that supremacy. It is a passion that I hope will give shape to everything that we do. We do it, as I said, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are unapologetic and unashamed in our affirming the work of the Spirit of God through His gifts in the body of Christ. Another value that is expressed in this is hearing God's voice. And the reason why this is singled out is because this has been and will continue to be such an important value in the life of Bridgeway. For those of you who've been here a long time, you know this. Hearing the voice of God, whether in revelatory gifts or in personal communion or prayer with our Heavenly Father. And then the fifth is in sacrificial giving. As I mentioned a moment ago, when we took up the offering, that's not something we just attach on to what we do so we can pay the bills. It is truly a fragrant aroma, as Paul says in Philippians, offered up to the Lord as a reflex of His having first given to us. He gives, He overflows in abundance to us, and we in turn faithfully give to the work of the ministry. The inward. By inward, we point to the horizontal dimension of our Christian experience. In other words, we're looking inward or around to one another, not simply up to the Lord, but also to the broader body of Christ. This is expressed in, again, five ways. Doing life together in community. Life was never meant to be lived in isolation from others, but in relationship with those who share with us a common faith in Jesus. This is expressed in our house churches and in our D groups and our huddles. There can be no communal life apart from this kind of dimension in our experience as Christians. as much as you enjoy maybe the little 3 to 5 minute meet and greet that we just had, that's not community, folks. You know, hopefully you'll get to know somebody you didn't know before, but far more is required than that. We need to do life together in our house churches and in our D groups. That's where accountability and encouragement happen. You being held accountable by others, that may frighten you. Well, that probably means you really do need to be held accountable if it scares you. But you need to hold others accountable as well, to encourage them. As I say here, we need to learn how to entrust ourselves to one another, or we'll never grow as Christian men and women. Third, the exercise of spiritual gifts. Paul says they are for the common good, to be used by all believers, not just those who stand up here and speak on a Sunday morning, not just by pastoral interns. All believers are gifted, and you exercise those primarily within the context of our house churches. People ask me all the time, they say, or I get emails weekly, and you ask me here, and you ask others on staff, how are the spiritual gifts expressed on Sunday mornings? Well, typically they aren't. I mean, a lot of them are, but it's very difficult when you really get over 100 people in a gathering to do that. When you have 600 or 700 the way we do, it has to take place in the context of smaller gatherings, our house churches, our D groups. That's where we want to see these gifts cultivated and expressed and lived out. We disciple one another. Again, it's a corporate affair. It involves you being engaged in another person's life, pouring into you the principles of God's Word, and you doing likewise in them. And then fifthly, training and equipping. God's desire is that all His children serve in ministry, not simply those who are paid. And to that end, we are each called not only to be trained and equipped, but to train and equip others. The third of our four values is the outward. Again, you've seen the up, in, and the out. Now it's upward, inward, outward. By outward, we look at our responsibility to the world. We look outward to make Christ known through the gospel, to bring His lordship to bear on every dimension of life. We don't ever want to think or give the impression that somehow a church is designed to circle the wagons and kind of, you know, fend off the enemies of the gospel, or that we're building a fortress in which we're hiding, waiting for the second coming of Jesus. We have been commanded to go out to take the good news of Christ into every nook and cranny of life, literally. Five ways in which this can be done. Mission and evangelism. As I say here, the church does not exist solely for its own sake, but to participate in the mission of God in bringing the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. And by the way, get it out of your minds. If you've been raised in a church setting, or you have somehow thought that doing missions is basically what happens when you write a check and give it so somebody can go overseas. Now, we believe in that, and we as a church support a number of people who are overseas, like KZ. But mission is what every Christian does on a daily basis. It is part of the very identity of a church. It's not just an appendage or an optional program. It's part of who we are on a daily basis. The pursuit of biblical justice. A lot of confusion about this one, by the way. Evangelicals typically have not done well here. Let's be honest. As I say, essential to our mandate as the people of God is to strive in the power of the Spirit for peace, racial reconciliation, together with the alleviation of poverty, hunger, and homelessness. We do not confuse these endeavors with the content of the gospel. They are, rather, the desired consequence of what Christ has accomplished for us in Jesus. Let me just take a moment and explain why there's been so much confusion about this particular issue. Back at the turn of the century, not this one, but 19th into the 20th, with the emergence of theological liberalism, those who pretty much rejected the authority of Scripture and denied many, if not most, of the fundamental truths of the faith, they basically argued the gospel is social justice. The gospel itself is feeding the poor and clothing the naked and giving shelter to the homeless and seeking for reconciliation. Now, please hear me well. As Christians, we must pursue those goals. Jesus did, made it very clear that we must as well. But that isn't the content of the gospel. But theological liberalism couched it in those terms. And so, as you can expect, The more conservative, at that time they called themselves fundamentalists, reacted and swung all the way over to the other end of the spectrum and basically said, if you ever get involved as a local church in a soup kitchen or a ministry like the Refuge or giving and serving those who are poor or laboring for reconciliation among the races, that must mean you've abandoned the gospel. You're a theological liberal because you've embraced what's called the social gospel. And so this vast chasm was created between liberalism on the one end and fundamentalism on the other. Liberalism that identified social justice with the gospel. Fundamentalist who said there is no social justice in any relationship to the gospel. And they're both wrong. And what we have seen in recent years, in the last few decades, is a movement back among evangelical conservative believers who embrace all of the fundamental truths of Scripture. And I said, look, we have fallen short. We have neglected that dimension of ministry. And we want to be able to utilize the resources God has given us to bring social justice to bear, biblical justice, if you will. At the same time, we proclaim the content of the gospel as Jesus living a sinless life, dying a substitutionary death, rising from the dead, and offering forgiveness of sins. There are consequences, inevitable fruit of the gospel, and part of those consequences is the commitment to the pursuit of biblical justice. Church planting. We are committed at Bridgeway to the planting of churches as perhaps the best expression of how mission can be accomplished. Service to the community. Concrete deeds of service and sacrifice for those who don't know Christ. Engaging and changing the culture. Now again, that's another very controversial one. So let me very clearly articulate this. Look if you would. We are called neither to retreat from our culture. Hope you know that, because some people want to. They go, ugh, it's ugly. It's depraved. I don't like it. I want to run and pull down the shades and hide. It's not what God calls us to do. We are not to retreat from the culture, nor are we to conform to it in any form of compromise. But rather through the power of the Spirit and the truth of the gospel, we want to speak prophetically to it as we seek its transformation and submission to the Lordship of Christ. We long to see the arts redeemed for the name of Christ and utilized in the promotion of His glory. That means music, drama, poetry, painting, writing, whatever expression the arts might take. And that's why I'm so thankful, pick on him, to have Joel Olympic here on our staff, who is so committed to seeing you who are gifted in this way raised up and released in the expression of your gifts so that Christ can be glorified in every dimension. And then fourthly, and if you're wondering why did we change the wording, it's because I couldn't get another good word that kind of had a rhythm to it. You know, it has to jive. And so I thought and prayed long and hard. I said, Lord, I need a word to describe this fourth dimension. And the only thing that came to mind was forward. Upward, inward, outward, forward. What do we mean by that? Why forward? Because the Christian life is a journey towards ever-increasing conformity to the image of Christ. We are all on this journey, individually and corporately. By the word forward, we have in mind this progressive spiritual transformation of becoming more like Jesus. So in the previous expression of our values, we did have a word for this. It was called inside. But again, up, in, out, and inside. It didn't jive. We need to jive. And so this is the best way. And by the way, if somebody ever comes up with better terms, these aren't inspired, okay? We're not inscribing them in the concrete out in the parking lot or the asphalt. And we'll tweak them again. But for now, this is the best way to embody our values. What do we mean by forward? What are the values? There are five as well. Informed and transformed by the Scriptures. And by the way, you have to have both. If you're just informed by the Bible, you become a Pharisee. And you become arrogant and pompous in your knowledge. If you don't approach the Scriptures with the confidence that through the power of the Spirit, they transform you when you understand them. We're not just affirming the inspiration of the Bible. We are celebrating its life-changing, sin-killing power. And therefore, as you obviously know, if you've been here long, the teaching and the preaching of the Scriptures are foundational to everything that we do. Cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. Christian maturity is largely defined by the degree to which our lives manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking here about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We want to see that in our lives as we move forward in conformity to Christ. Spiritual disciplines. Christian life is a struggle. It's a battle. It's a war on a daily basis. And the disciplines like prayer, fasting, solitude, silence, reading and meditating on the Word, worship, serving, journaling, the stewardship of our time, and the list could go on, are things that we embrace and we value here. Fourth, persevering prayer. Now, again, notice prayer is a spiritual discipline, but we've singled it out because that's so much a part of who Bridgeway is, that God has called us to be. Intercession, petition, thanksgiving, but also praying for healing, both physical healing, emotional and spiritual healing. We are committed to this as an expression of our movement forward and helping one another grow in conformity to Christ. And then the fifth one, the celebration of the sacraments, a dimension so often missed in evangelical Bible-believing churches, oftentimes because they're so afraid of being identified with Roman Catholicism and their view of the Mass and the like, and so they've just kind of held it at arm's length. Well, we don't, because the Bible won't let us. We believe that the ordinances or the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's table are designed to enhance our spiritual relationship. They are not conditions for that relationship. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But they do enhance our communion with the Lord in their own unique ways. Now, I hope you realize, people, that you have to have all four. Upward, inward, outward, and forward. If all you want is the upward, you know what you're going to end up being? An isolated monk. You know, just all over in your corner or in your little prayer closet, you and God, detached from the rest of the body of Christ. That's not what the Lord wants for us or for you. If all you focus on is inward, you become a communal parasite. You just feed off of other people. You never give. You never look out. You never even look to God. It's just this unhealthy, parasitical relationship. If all you do is outward, you become a spiritually shallow fanatic. Because if you don't draw from the strength of the Scriptures and your relationship with God, when you go out with the gospel, what are you going to tell them? You got to have a message. You got to have substance and depth to your mission and to your evangelism. And if all you do is forward, you become a self-absorbed legalist. And instead of being conformed to the image of Christ in community with others through the power and the grace of the Spirit, you start setting up laws that you think are going to change your life and make you look more holy. All four dimensions have to work in tandem one with another. They are interconnected. They are interconnected on a Sunday morning, in our house churches, in our D groups, in all settings in which we do life together. Now, I'm not going to take time. I'm just going to let you read this later. How these four values relate to the centrality of the Scriptures. How does the Word of God function to energize and empower our commitment to these values? I encourage you to take time this afternoon when you can and read through those last few paragraphs. So when the question is asked, who are you, Bridgeway? Why do you exist? What do you do? We exist to spread a passion for the glory of God by extending the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeing His will and His ways exerted in every area of life. We do it house to house, life on life, in the power of the Spirit, not in our own strength. Ultimately, because we long to see the joy of men and women deepened and intensified in Jesus, because in that way, He's most glorified and honored in us. If you have questions about this, come to any of our elders, our staff. We'd be happy to talk about it with you to try to bring clarity. But I hope as a people that you will find here an attempt to be consistent with the totality of the Word of God. I don't want us to be spiritually lopsided. I don't want us to so emphasize one dimension that we lose sight of the others. God has called us to all four of these values and each of the five dimensions that is expressed within them. Are we going to do it perfectly? No. Are we going to seem at times to get out of balance? Yes. But that's why we're doing this together, so we can hold each other accountable and we can challenge each other to embrace all of these in the power of the Spirit so that God will be glorified through the supremacy and the centrality of His Son. Would you stand with me? This morning we're going to close a little bit differently. We're not going to have a ministry time. I would just rather like to take a moment and just pray corporately over us as a body in light of these statements that we've looked at this morning. Sometime within the next few weeks, we're going to put this in a little bit nicer brochure, a little format where you can have to hand out to people if they ask you, where do you go to church and why do you go there and what do you do there? And we'll make it available in that form. But let me just take this 1 minute or two in closing and just pray over us as a body, because we want to commit ourselves to the pursuit of these values and this mission and this vision. And I pray that the Spirit of God would move in your heart, that you would commit yourself to them as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that has happened here this morning. I thank you, Father, for the time of deep intimacy with you and confessing our weakness and our need of you and our hunger for you, declaring your greatness and your glory. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to give, the opportunity to encourage one another. Lord, as painful as it is to see the Reiners leave us, I just thank you that Bridgeway is a place that can release its very best to ministry that you have placed on their hearts. Lord, I pray for John and Darcy and their family that you would bless them. Lord, as hard as it is for them and for us, would you just enrich and expand the ministry that they have at Our Lord's? Would you bless that church and all that Rock is doing there? Lord, we just pray that you would raise up new faces, new gifted people to take the place of John and Darcy and any others who are released and go out. Would you raise up new individuals who are passionate, committed to the pursuit of upward, inward, outward, and forward, and all these values? Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, I just confess again, if this isn't done in the power of the Holy Spirit, I quit. I quit right now. If you're not going with us, as Moses said to you as they began to launch out in the wilderness wandering toward the promised land, Lord, if you're not going with us, I ain't going. Lord, we need your help. We're going to mess it up. We're going to do things in a bad and sinful way at times. Lord, would you hold us accountable? Would you help us? Would you speak to us? Give the elders wisdom. Empower and enable the staff to lead as you have called them to do so. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for all that you're doing within it. And again, we confess we are here for your glory, in the power of your Spirit, for the joy of all people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.